There is a text of Dogen called Hachi Dainin Gaku, which can be translated as the eight qualities of a great person or an awakened person. It's the final fascicle that Dogen wrote before he died. And it's also based on a text of Shakyamuni Buddha, which is all considered the final teaching of Shakyamuni before attaining nirvana or before the Buddha died. Sometimes it's called the last testament of the Buddha. Hachi Dainin Gaku. And there's two translations that I'm aware of in English that are accessible and quite good, as well as translations that might be included as part of greater, translations, compendiums of Dogen's work. One translation is by Uchiyama Roshi called The Roots of Goodness, and the other translation is by Maizumi Roshi, and it's part of Hazy Moon of Enlightenment. So I want to talk about this text a little bit today and maybe also in future times. Eight awarenesses of great person or enlightened person. Hachi Dainin Gaku. All Buddhas are awakened persons or enlightened persons. Those things which the enlightened persons are aware of are called the eight awarenesses of the enlightened person. To become aware of this Dharma is the cause for nirvana. Our master Shakyamuni Buddha taught this on the last night before entering parinirvana, before dying. First, having few desires. Not seeking too much among the objects of the five desires which are not yet obtained is called having few desires. Not seeking too much, not wildly chasing after desires, after what we want, don't want. Notice he adds on, that have not yet been fulfilled. In other words, things that we haven't obtained yet. That's called having few desires. Dogen quotes Buddha saying, you should know that because those who have many desires search for fame and profit, there is much suffering. Those who have few desires look around less and desire little. Therefore, they have no worry of this sort. Having few desires, not being caught up in desires and looking around. That's something that results in less suffering. And that's, after all, what we want. We want to not suffer and not harm ourselves or others as a result of this. So, not getting caught up in likes and dislikes we've long known the Sutra of the Third Ancestor says, not holding to likes and dislikes. Likes and dislikes are the disease of the mind. It's not that they're coming up, but it's the seeking after them. Seeking after them in appropriate or inappropriate ways. That's, after all, when we say caught in self-centered dream, is our noticing where our likes and dislikes, whether it's about what I have in front of me, whether it's about what I read or hear, about what others are doing, whether it's something that directly affects me or it's something in a newspaper about, and you fill in what it's about, politics, sports, business, weather, we run after all sorts of, as this translation is, objects of the five desires, meaning objects of the desires that we as a human, of the likes and dislikes, in a way, we don't even notice it, and yet we suffer about it as if it's the truth and as if it's what we ought to spend our time with. Sometimes we notice the suffering. Sometimes we notice our beliefs about whether it's something that happened last year, last week, hasn't happened yet, maybe it'll happen in a year or two, or happened 30, 40, 60 years ago, happened before I was born to my mother, grandmother, great-grandfather, no one I ever knew, but 1,000 years ago, etc., etc. All sorts of objects of past desires that we seek, especially ones that we can do nothing about and yet can create suffering about them. How do we create suffering? Because we don't know how to be satisfied with things that we already have. And that's, in a way, the second of these awarenesses. Knowing how to be satisfied. Knowing how much to take of those things which one already has is called knowing how to be satisfied. Knowing how to be satisfied. We refuse to be satisfied with the circumstance, in fact, often refuse to even acknowledge. Knowing how to be satisfied, Dogen quotes the Buddha saying, the Dharma of knowing how to be satisfied is the realm of riches, comfort, peace, and tranquility. Those who know how to be satisfied are happy and comfortable, even when sleeping on the ground. Those who do not know how to be satisfied are not satisfied, even when dwelling in a heavenly palace. Those who do not know how to be satisfied are poor, even though they are wealthy, while those who know how to be satisfied are wealthy even though they have little. This is important. See, in a way, this is the emphasis in practice, is to be present, but then also to know what, how we're caught up in desires and thoughts, and to see the consequences of that in our life, and not only in our life, but in the life of all those we encounter, where we and they are together. There's a Jewish expression, Ezehu Osha HaSameach B'Chalkon. Who is the rich person? The one who is satisfied with what they have right now. Ezehu Gibor HaKoivish Es Yitzra. Who is the strong person? The one who controls his desires, which is exactly what the Buddha is pointing to. It's not the arising of the desire that is our issue. That's why, in a way, noticing is so valuable. We notice the desire arising, or the thoughts about, or the judgments of, and yet the noticing is the opportunity to be the experiencing, and at the same sense to open up our hands to let it go. To be able to not be run by our desires. There isn't a problem. There isn't a need for us to control the arising of desires because we can't. The desires of I like and the desires of I don't like. The desires of I should, the desires of I shouldn't. The desires of all sorts are just part of being human. They're the natural functioning of being embodied. If we're embodied, desires of various sorts arise. But if we are disturbed by them, if we want to make something of our desires that are going to result in suffering, and we don't see it, then the desires run us, or desires, we could say, likes and dislikes. Believing those, not even noticing those, is already what should, in a sense, encourage us to begin practicing with it. What you do with it is yours, and what we do with it, we begin to see, can allow us to be at peace and joyful, or to be suffering and doing harm. That's why this teaching of the qualities of a great person, awakened person, whatever way you wanted to translate that, the qualities of being someone who can be at peace and joyful in life. That's what Zazen is, being just this moment. When we're caught up in likes and dislikes, in dreams about what should or shouldn't be, and we don't see them as dreams. Seeing them as dreams is then great. Then we're not suffering over it, except that we allow ourselves to suffer over what she shouldn't have had and what he's going to do and what happened back then or what's going to happen, etc., etc. So the whole point of our practice is to allow us to be at peace in this life that we are, and then to do what's appropriate and skillful within our capacity. You can dream of all sorts of things. You could have great desires of, I want the world to do A, B, C. And you could even act on that. But if you get caught up in the I want when it doesn't happen right away, when others do this and that and you don't like it, or you would like it to be for you and not for them, etc., etc., we create suffering for ourselves and others. We're not at peace in our life and we do harm. That's what this teaching is all about. Knowing when one has enough, when one is satisfied, being able to be satisfied. So it's valuable to us, valuable for us, to be aware of our desires, our likes and dislikes, not because we have to keep a catalog, not because we have to think about it, but because we can notice what we're doing with it. And one of the things, as we practice, whether informal sitting, or I should say differently, within formal sitting, or when not in the midst of formal sitting, is noticing self-centered dream, because that's what desires are about, the self-centered dream of what should and shouldn't and all the other variations be right now. So I might in future weeks bring up some of these other of the 8 awarenesses of Dogen's fascicle Hachi Dai Ningaku. Or, as I said, it's interesting that this was Dogen's last writing, teaching, and it was based on what Shakyamuni Buddha's last teaching, or part of his last teaching before he died. 8 awarenesses. And we can begin to be the awarenesses of the great person that we are. Then we can live the life that way and enjoy our life, share it with others, and serve the life of the universe, serve our life and the life of everyone that we meet. Thank you.